Everything's good now. Everything's back to normal, right?
We did the thing.
Atletico did the thing. They did the winning thing and secured progression into the Champions League round of 16. Once again, it is the sixth time in 7 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Not bad. Not a bad return.
Yeah, that is six times in 7 years. The 1 year Atletico did not advance to the last 16, of course, was when they won the Europa League instead under Simeone.
You can't really ask for much better return. Two finals plus winning the Europa League twice for Simeone is a pretty ridiculously good continental run.
You mean putting it in that lens? Absolutely. I mean, yeah. There is a tendency to get, for lack of a better word, spoiled. Because Simeone has been a victim of his own success in more ways than one. Atletico have been victims of their own success.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most teams would love to have that run. Obviously, you would have hoped that one of those two Champions League finals would have gone the other way, and they could have easily, but that's sort of the nature of these things. When you're in a knockout competition, weird stuff happens, and those finals we've dissected a bazillion times. But, yeah, it's something to be marveled at, really.
It is. It's a sign of stability.
Yeah.
You know, in a club that has famously been a hallmark of instability for many, many years before Simeone took over in 2011, nearly 8 calendar years ago.
I mean, he's done a hell of a job, and there's no doubt about it.
Yep, it's consistent. We can definitely say that. I don't think there's an argument that this is, you know, as consistent a run as you'll see from major European clubs. And this Champions League round of 16 group here, this group of teams, all from the big five European leagues.
Yeah, it's a pretty stacked round of 16. I'm kind of undecided on how I feel about that. I mean, in one sense, it's kind of boring. But, I mean, ideally you'd want to see the best teams in it, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what the draw is.
Yeah, that's coming up on Monday, and we'll address that later on in the show. It would have been cool to see Dinamo Zagreb get through on the final day. They had a chance, but Manchester City blew them out of the water because they ruin everything, and Shakhtar just completely fell apart at home, and Atalanta ended up getting through. Atalanta.
Yeah, Atalanta are fun. They were pretty crap, but came through at the end.
1 point from their first 4 games, and they go on to win the next 2, get a little help, and you're into the last 16.
Clutched it out. Of all the teams in the last 16, they're probably the weakest, you'd say?
You would say they're definitely the most surprising to be there, the most unfancied to be there.
It's pretty impressive that Valencia finished top of their group. I wouldn't call them one of the best teams in there either.
Yeah, you do have to give Valencia some credit. I mean, yeah, Ajax kind of choked it away at home, like they did against Spurs several months ago. But yeah, you got to give Valencia some credit here.
That was a pretty solid group. I mean, Lille were crap the whole
Lille
time.
Were the whipping boys, but Chelsea have a good team. Ajax were semifinalists last year and nearly went to the final. Should have gone to the final if it weren't for Lucas Moura. The fascist supporting winger of Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, yes. And balding fascist winger of Tottenham Hotspur.
But we don't need to go into all that.
No, we surely don't. They lost the final. It doesn't matter.
Give Valencia a lot of credit. And we like to rail on them a little bit because they deserve it. But that's a club where chaos kind of reigns supreme. They changed managers. They had to go to Amsterdam. And Rodrigo got the winner for them.
Yeah, and it's, they could, if the rules about same country didn't exist, they could get Atleti, but that won't happen, so they should get, they are going to get stuck with a good team. You just know it. I have a feeling that they're going to get Tottenham or, like, Dortmund or something and then just get spanked, but
perhaps so. We won't know all that for another couple months, though.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, and there was only one last 16 place up for grabs on the final day of group play, and that was, of course, Atleticos.
Of course it was.
Of course it was. So the situation was Atletico, a victory against Lokomotiv would do the job. Obviously, that is what happened. But, oh, what could have been a draw and a Leverkusen win against Juventus, and Leverkusen would have gone through. So it wasn't impossible, as we discussed.
Well, and bastard Juventus made us sweat it out.
Yeah, Juventus, it took them a little while to score, but Ronaldo and Higuain got late goals there, and in the end, Atletico didn't need Juventus' help, but got it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And they should have won even bigger against Lokomotiv. It was kind of a very dumb final match day, which kind
very
of
dumb.
Says it all about that group.
It was dramatic, yet not very dramatic at all. Atletico really, really cruised in this one. So is everything back to normal? Are we all good here?
I mean, it was a surprisingly good performance, I think, all things considered. I mean, I was expecting something like this. I mean, I'm still sort of waiting on the weird four-goal game that'll happen just because this team has been so terrible in front of goal despite creating a bunch of chances. But, yeah, I mean, there are obviously still problems, but this was a really solid performance. And kind of the crowning of this first half of the season for Felipe, who's kind of come out of nowhere and been ultra-solid for this team.
Oh, man, yeah. Felipe, just such a good signing. And there was some skepticism, there were some, not really confusion, but there were some eyebrows raised when Atletico bought him from Porto. There were some sexier, more expensive names out there, but he's come in and he's done a great job. We've talked about it before. This was his ninth straight start next to Mario Hermoso. They both played really well, although they weren't really tested. And Felipe got his after halftime with just this incredibly athletic, acrobatic goal and celebration from a Koke cross.
That's a banging goal for a center back to score.
Yeah, no one picked him up on his run, so he made his job a little easier. But this is a really acrobatic finish, kind of scissoring it in the top half of the net.
I mean, they just sort of they disrespected him. They didn't think he could finish from that angle, but he did.
He's like really deceptively quick and athletic.
He's a really talented footballer.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of expect that from Brazilian center backs, but he's not in the sort of stereotypical Brazilian center back mold, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's not this kind of big, slow, hulking central defender.
Right. I mean,
he's got size, he's sturdy, but he's also got some pace about him.
And he's just grabbed this chance. I mean, you know, there's no other options, but despite that, he's been excellent, and Hermoso's been good too in recent weeks, so it was a very decent performance. I mean, I think the fullbacks have been fine throughout the season. Obviously wasn't the best match for Trippier, but
yeah.
Fine.
I mean, we were expecting a win. Something I was not expecting was Kieran Trippier to take a second minute penalty.
Yeah, that was weird.
But, you know, Simeone actually explained it after the game. He said, Mono Borgos comes up with this list of penalty takers. Trippier's name is always the first one on it. He is our best penalty taker. You should see him in training. And after that, do I want to see him in training?
No.
I mean, after that, I mean, the idea wasn't a bad one. He was trying to hit this rising shot into the roof of the net, but it didn't rise quite high enough. And the keeper was off his line, but he did save it.
Yeah, true. He did save it. Yeah, I wonder about VAR on that one. It was a good save,
to be fair. It was weird to see Trippier step up. Like, you have Morata, who has a good reputation as a penalty taker. João Félix, of course, who would come up and take one 15 minutes later. But, yeah, Trippier is a weird one. We know he's good on set pieces, but more from corners and free kicks than from penalties.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get it in one sense. I mean, he's good at free kicks, you know. Powerful penalties, I think, is what you're going for with Trippier.
Yeah, and yeah.
That one was not well placed.
It was not. And there was power behind it.
Yeah, there was.
But just not a whole lot else. But, yeah, Atletico didn't really let it cramp their style. They just kept right on coming. Lokomotiv, the Russian league, Rob, gives its teams a three-month break because the winter in Russia is obviously inhospitable. So
it's cold in Russia, Jeremy. I don't know if you've heard.
It is. So I've heard. So I've seen. So the league gives its teams 3 months off between December and March, and Lokomotiv were really, really looking forward to it if this display was anything to go by. They offered absolutely nothing. Atletico kept right on coming, then won another penalty.
Yeah, this one was sort of less. I mean, I didn't think it was a penalty at first, but I guess it's handball.
I didn't either, but he did extend the arm.
He did. He did. It was close. It was a little bit harsh, but yeah, I can see how they gave it.
Joao Felix won the first one. He didn't take the first one, but he took this one and made no mistake.
Really good penalty.
Really good.
I like the sort of short stutter step and then just bang it in the bottom corner.
Yeah, keeper didn't even move.
No, great penalty.
Yeah, Kochankov just did not move. And
no,
that's Joao Felix's fourth goal of the season, his second against this opponent. And Atletico should have had a second, or could have had a second, rather, through Morata, but it was a very, very marginal offside call. His left foot just a little bit ahead of the defender.
Yeah,
just by that much.
But it was offside, yeah.
Marginally, but it was offside.
Somebody told Tomas Partey to shoot a lot in this game also.
Yeah, he had several long-range attempts, two of which were actually pretty close.
Yeah, the one towards the end of the match was probably the best one.
And he was great overall. I think he took 130 touches.
Yeah, he was immense. It was sort of back to the early season, Tomas.
Yeah, bunch of shots, bunch of really important vertical passes, kind of drove play. Atletico had 68% possession in this game, Rob.
Yeah, it was an excellent performance. I mean, granted, it's against Lokomotiv, who I don't think are very good.
Yeah, had lost four in a row in this competition, three in a row in all comps. Now, obviously, ended on a five-game losing skid. And, yeah, as we said, they were very much looking forward to getting home and not playing for 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Even then, this was an impressive performance. It's one the team desperately needed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. After the winless run they had been on, they really needed to pick me up. And, I mean, they have a fairly interesting fixture at the weekend. But, they really needed to score some goals, and they did, but I'm still hoping we get a little bit more than a two-goal game at some point, just because they've been so unlucky in terms of their XG thus far this season. It feels like they're due for a big win at some stage.
Yeah, I mean, or several, like, multi-goal wins in a row. Kind of like, as we mentioned, Valencia pulled off last year when they were going through this similar run. But yeah, this shows that it is possible Atletico can score more than one goal in a game.
It is possible.
It does take them 23 shots to do it, but they can do it. Yeah,
exactly.
The shots were 23-3.
They were horrific, Lokomotiv.
Yeah.
They're not good.
This very little, like, even from an effort standpoint, if I were Yuri Semin, who's their coach, I would be really frustrated at the effort. Not so much with the result, because there's not much you can do when there's a talent disparity like that. But the effort, there was none.
Yeah, and I mean, we see this a lot of times when you have sort of the Russian kind of, the sort of that mid-tier league like Russia, and you have these luxury players that go over there, and they've certainly gone all in on that strategy. Now, sometimes effort can be a problem. And Edering, Krakowiak, not really working their socks off at this point.
And Jean Mario has been good, but he missed this one. The former Inter great Jean Mario.
Yeah, exactly. Benedict Halvidez, who's somehow still alive.
Yeah, Benedict Halvidez went over there.
Yeah, and then a bunch of guys whose names are unpronounceable. So, yeah.
The Moranchuk brothers are decent, but yeah, there aren't, like, the Russian national team isn't coming through the doors at Lokomotiv.
Well, and yeah, the Russian, it's been a bad week for Russian sport, let's put it that way.
Yes, with pretty much all their teams being banned from international competition.
Remember all those stats last year at the World Cup about their team running a lot farther than everyone else?
I think it was 9 of the top 10 players in distance covered were all Russians.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
No link there. Nothing to see here.
Knock me over with a damn feather.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone knew what was up there.
Been a bad week for sports in Russia.
Yeah, not going so well.
And they lost a Champions League place as well. There's going to be another one going to Portugal in a couple of years because of their abject performances this year.
I mean, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time that there's been like a really solid Russian team? I mean, Zenit have had a couple knockout appearances, I think, in the last few years.
Like when Zenit made the Europa League final, when they won the UEFA Cup?
Yeah, I guess.
Like a decade ago?
I mean, they had a couple good years when they had Hulk, but that was about it.
Yeah, it's been a while, and you can kind of... I don't think this is a totally fair depiction. This Lokomotiv performance is a totally fair portrayal of Russian football, but it's not fair.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. The league has talent occasionally. It's a weird league in a lot of different ways, but right now is kind of a low point, I think. Oh, I guess Rostov. Rostov had a couple of good years there.
Yeah, Rostov got to the group stage back in 2016. Atletico really had to huff and puff to beat them twice.
Yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah, Rostov were a nice story there.
Yeah, they were solid.
And CSKA have had a few good teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think...
I mostly remember CSKA getting beat up a few times.
Yeah. I think Inter beat them on their way to the treble back in 2010, if I recall.
Yeah, it was one of those Russian teams, for sure.
But still, Atletico took advantage of the situation, and they needed a win for more than one reason in this game, and they got it. Some of the other, I think, key performances, other than Thomas, who we discussed, João Félix overall, I mean, he was capped off by the penalty, but I thought he had another really good game. Aggressive.
A lot of shots.
Six shots. He's got 15 in the last two games.
More of that, please.
Yeah, and looking at his touch map, his heat map, it looked a lot like one of Griezmann's old maps.
True.
It's amazing what he can do when he doesn't have to cover for a fullback.
Yeah, exactly. Or be on the wing the whole match. Just let the dude float around. I mean, clearly we've seen that if you give him the keys, he can handle it, despite how young he is, which is amazing.
Yeah, he's really talented. Two good performances against Lokomotiv in the Champions League. Not the best opposition, of course, but on the European stage, when your team needs a win, you got to show up, and that's what he did on Wednesday night.
Yeah, another tough game for Morata, I guess. Yeah. Maybe unlucky, but...
His goalless drought has swelled to nearly 500 minutes, Rob.
It's been tough.
And the Atletico just can't have that. Just can't. Cannot win consistently when you're not getting goals from your number nine.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, considering how important he was for a stretch there, now this dry spell is really hurting him.
And this is kind of who Morata has always been. We kind of wondered a few weeks back if he's finally shedding that label, if he's really becoming lethal, a guy who... You give him three shots, he'll score three goals. He's becoming that kind of guy, and he's not.
Mm-mm. He's not.
And you kind of think you need that to change. Simeone needs that to change.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's been on a poor run, and I mean, I think it'll come around because he's still been playing fairly well overall, despite the finishing, but... The Atletico have to have it. I mean, the goals in this team, we've said it many times, the goals just aren't there at all. I mean, the midfielders aren't giving you anything. Correa hasn't scored. Saul and Koke doesn't look like much chance of that happening anytime soon. Tomas, obviously, he will shoot. Whether it's going to be it going anywhere close to goal is another question.
He will get his shots.
He will shoot. He will shoot from a long way away.
I think the Angel Correa experience can be summed up thusly. I think it was the 67th minute, right before he was pulled off. He has a chance in the box. Ball falls to him. Does a couple neat moves, neat tricks with his feet. Tries to cut inside. Loses the ball. Takes out the defender in front of him by kicking at him in the back of the thigh. Ends up getting a yellow card.
I mean... Angel Correa has to lead all of Europe in frustration fouls.
He turns a goal-scoring opportunity into lost possession. The guy has, I think it was Chorluka who he kind of stuck in the on the back of the thigh, or the back of the calf, rather. He had to get stretchered off because of this.
Yeah, it was a terrible tackle.
Yeah. That awful. Is the Angel Correa experience in a nutshell.
It really is.
So talented, and just it hasn't ever been consistently under control. I mean, that's a chance that at least has to get on goal. Instead, there's not even a shot attempt. You lose the ball, you foul the guy who picked up the ball and injure him.
Tottenham legend, yeah. Adrian Corlucci.
That's right.
Not great, Angel. Real not good. And the home crowd wasn't too happy about Lemar coming on either.
God, even Lemar played decently well, I thought.
Yeah, he was fine.
One of his better displays in weeks, honestly.
And he only played 17 minutes. That says a lot.
Yeah. And Marco Llorente got a little bit of time as well. Good to see.
Yeah. He's been out in the cold the last few weeks. I mean, really just getting sub minutes, and that's not going to do him any good, really.
I mean, Lima and Llorente are kind of guys who are on the fringes right now. What that means for their futures, we don't know, but Llorente at least has been on the fringes all season. Simeone just doesn't seem to think he has the quality, and Lima, we know his story there with the lack of confidence, the lack of not quite put into the best positions to succeed, but not helping his own case either.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if one of those guys got a chance at the weekend. I mean, obviously Osasuna have been fairly good this year, but even still, it's a pretty decent chance to give one of those guys a run out for 75 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the rotations would look like. It is in Madrid. Osasuna, we know, at El Sadar, it's just a fortress. But on the road, Atletico at home, maybe a different story.
Yeah, I'd like to see Marcos Llorente get a chance in that game. I mean, I don't know who's really going to be rested. It's not going to be Koke.
No.
maybe Saul.
No.
Maybe. Unlikely.
No.
Yeah. I don't know where else you could put him in unless we're going
maybe with Thomas.
Four central midfielders.
Deal. Yeah, maybe Thomas, and then you'll have Llorente and Herrera next to Saul and Koke. Saul was pretty good on the right, and Saul was really good in this game. But he was moved over to the right and played very well for a large chunk of this game. Atletico also went to a 4-1-4-1 very late on, which was semi-interesting.
Yeah, they had
Morata up top, and Thomas was the deep man, the single pivot in front of the back four.
Yeah, and I like it. I mean, Thomas has been great this year. I mean, he's really come into his own as a player now. I think we're starting to see the beginning of his peak in terms of him as a player.
He's achieved more consistency. And that's the thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He still has his moments, his brain farts, most notably against Leverkusen a few weeks ago. But his games are becoming more consistent. He's putting in his baseline displays are better than they used to be. And, of course, he has games where he just completely takes over.
True.
And the locomotive game was one of the latter. David Ornstein in The Athletic wrote last week that Arsenal had a chance to sign Thomas last summer.
And specifically, Unai Emery wanted to sign him.
And he wanted the move. He was, quote-unquote, desperate for the move. But
yeah, I thought that was interesting.
But y'all chose to get Nicolas Pepe instead.
Well, different players.
Yes, but
also Nicolas Pepe is good.
He is. He has been good.
A hill I will die on.
Yes. He has been pretty good.
Despite all the Twitter bans, but nevertheless.
It was also 30 million euros more than signing Thomas.
True. And I mean, I think you could make an argument that Arsenal probably needed a Thomas more than they needed.
Exactly.
Pepe, probably.
Exactly.
And I mean, 50 million for Thomas was probably in retrospect quite a good deal for any number of teams that would have wanted that move. But, I mean, I'm glad it didn't happen, clearly, because he's coming to his own for Atleti. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Thomas. I mean, I can see where the frustration on his part came from last season when he was phased out because of Rodri, basically.
he's had a couple chances to leave, and there have been teams interested in him for a few years, but he hasn't left. And not sure how much longer that will be the status quo. That release clause is in the contract he signed nearly 2 years ago now.
True. I mean, I just, part of me wonders if sort of this breakthrough he's made this season is, I don't know, sort of a sign to him that, like, okay, you can, this is your job now. I mean, he's the best central midfielder of the club. I don't think there's much of an argument this season.
I mean, I prefer not to lose him because of that little nugget right there, that he is this team's best midfielder and has been all year.
And, I mean, there have been a bunch of links to Man United over the years as well, so who knows?
Going to Arsenal would be a downgrade, though.
Well, yeah, he'd be playing in Europa League. But he'd be making a lot more money.
Yeah. His wages would be a lot higher.
Yeah.
Though.
I mean, he's a real good player.
Yeah.
And you and I have loved him for years, but this has been his breakout for sure.
The Atletico Juventus draw, I wrote about this after the game, but this stood out to me. The Atletico Juve draw was the only draw in the group across all six match days.
You take that. It's a pretty solid group.
And if Atletico lose that game instead of draw it, they probably don't qualify.
That is true.
So thank God for that draw against Juventus in match day one.
We weren't saying that at the time.
No, but in the end, it all worked out.
God love you, Hector Herrera.
Now, Monday, we will have the round of 16 draw, Rob. And Atletico can draw one of five teams. Bayern, Liverpool, Man City, PSG, or Leipzig. Who do you want and why?
There's one good outcome from that one, I think.
Who do you want and why?
I think you go for Leipzig. I mean, they're obviously good, but they were in a pretty weak group. I think Atleti have more talent than them, and I think they could win that.
So that means that means Real Madrid are getting Leipzig.
May? Yeah. Oh yeah. That took me a second. They always get the easy draw.
Forgot about that
little neat rule.
Weak group, inexperienced team, given to Madrid.
Yeah, that's true. That is what's going to happen, isn't it?
Although Ajax kind of bucked that trend last year, so who knows? But Leipzig are the new boys here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else of that group. I mean, I guess PSG. I don't know how good PSG are, to be honest.
We never really do.
Right, because they're loaded with talent, but then they always play down to their opponents, so.
We never really know how good that, I mean, I wouldn't want to see Neymar and Mbappe running at this defense for 180 minutes. I'd rather not see that, but we've seen PSG in Europe before.
Absolutely.
We've seen that they have issues.
Well, I also don't really want to see Keylor Navas again.
No, that's
true. Because he's done bad things to Atleti over the years.
Yeah, I don't want... Yeah, really, it's been several years, starting with how he denied Atletico the title back in 2014. When he was at Levante.
Yeah, so, no thanks. But, oh gosh, I mean... Man City haven't looked good recently, but they're scary.
That I think they're the best team in the field, and that's why I'd like to avoid the English teams. Liverpool for selfish reasons.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Yeah. I mean, how did you deal with Atletico playing Arsenal?
Not comfortably.
Yeah, that's how I would have to deal with Atletico Liverpool.
Not comfortably.
Yeah. That's how I would deal with that. I mean, of course I would pull for Atletico.
Yeah. It's mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings. So I'd like to avoid Liverpool, not only for selfish reasons, but also because they're really, really good.
They're pretty good.
Man City aren't focusing on the Premier League. They are obviously pooling all their resources to winning the Champions League this year, and they have a loaded squad. So,
yeah. And they'll probably have guys back from injuries by the time that fixture rolls around.
Yeah. they may not have Laporte back. I think his injury is more long term. But, you know, maybe they'll go out in next month and sign a defender. They are so strong everywhere else that who knows how much it will matter to whoever they draw.
Yeah, true. I mean, Bayern's an interesting one. It's basically Robert Lewandowski and Serge Gnabry.
Yeah, I don't really... I don't
team on their back.
I don't really... And Kingsley Coman got hurt, sadly. Again. Lucas Hernandez is still out. I don't really know how good Bayern are.
I don't think they're that good.
Domestically, they've lost back-to-back games to Leverkusen and Mönchengladbach.
They've kicked the crap out of Tottenham a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, they were great in the group, but domestically, yeah, it's been another story. I don't really know how good Bayern are.
I mean, we know how good Robert Lewandowski is.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But the rest of their team is like, ugh. I don't know if these guys are good anymore.
You have Coutinho there, who's been pretty good.
He's been all right.
I mean, Thomas Müller is still around. Neuer is still around. Boateng's still around.
But all of those guys, you'd have to say, I mean, Müller has not been good the last few years. Neuer's fallen off since he was the best goalkeeper in the world there for a stretch.
Yeah.
And you could say the same thing about Boateng as well. They're an aging team. I mean, you look at the age of that squad. They are old.
I mean, they're seventh in the Bundesliga. Seventh. They're seven points.
I did not like their signings over the years. They have not been good.
They're 7 points behind Gladbach and 6 points behind Leipzig. Like, this is not going too well for them. I don't really know how good they are. It seems like they're just taking out their anger on poor Tottenham.
Yeah,
and Red Star.
Yeah, that was not a good group.
No, it worked out very nicely for Lewandowski.
It really did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bayern.
Yeah, he ate in that group.
Yeah, Bayern are one of the few teams to ever have won all six group games.
Which is pretty impressive.
So, yeah, in a vacuum, that's impressive. But, yeah, it's an interesting quintet of teams that Atletico could draw. They each have their own kind of quirks. I don't really know who I would want, per se. I mean, Atletico are going to draw whoever they draw. This is what happens when you finish second, as Atleti learned last year by drawing Juve. You get, on paper, better, tougher teams. I can tell you that I would like to avoid the English teams, but, you know, we'll see. I wouldn't necessarily be comfortable with any of these draws.
No, I mean, I think Leipzig is probably the best bet, but beyond that, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, and Leipzig, Ajax showed last year that experience doesn't really matter in this competition anymore.
True.
If you have talent and you play proactive football, you're going to be okay. Though Leipzig... Yeah,
and they're well coached.
Yeah, Leipzig and Bayern both... Yes, Nagelsmann is tremendous. They both came... The German teams came from kind of weaker groups. PSG have had issues there for years. Liverpool are the champions. Man City are the reigning English champions. So, good teams here.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I guess, is the way you'd want to shake out.
My gut is Atletico are going to draw Liverpool.
That would not be great.
That's my gut. But...
Oh, man. I don't know what I think. I don't know why I feel like it's going to be PSG, but I think it might be.
Yeah, you're feeling PSG?
Yeah, I think so.
By the way, Bayern's new manager has, like, the most German name of all time.
Yeah, who is this guy?
Hans Dieter Flick.
Flick.
If ever there was a more German name, I'd like to see it.
Big Flick, yeah. Hans and Dieter in the same name. Love it.
You gotta love it. Man.
Oh, man.
It's amazing.
I mean, look at the back line they played in that game against Tottenham.
Yeah.
Alphonso Davies, who's not a left back. Javi Martinez, who...
Old.
Old, and was good, but also not super a center back. And then Pavar and Boateng. Pavar is good, we know this. But,
yes. Yeah. And Boateng is still kind of good.
Yeah, he's all right. When he's not hurt.
Right, yeah, which isn't that often anymore. But yeah, all these teams have... I guess the strongest teams are the English teams, and the other three have kind of varying weaknesses. So we'll see how Monday shakes out. Either way, I'm just glad Atletico are in the draw. It's much better than being in Europa League again.
Facts.
Yes, getting to the last 16 is what is the kind of the baseline of what this team has to do every year. And it was definitely the more... it was definitely the more scenic route this year. But
it was.
Got it done.
We got to stress it out a little bit.
Well, we'll find out Monday. In the meantime, Atletico play Osasuna on Sunday. Saturday. Sorry, it's the late game Saturday. And we talked a little bit about what the team may look like. Osasuna, newly promoted. They are comfortably mid-table right now. They drew with Sevilla at home last time out. They have a Kimi Avila, who is an awesome little player. Really, really criminally underrated.
They're a good team. They don't have any stars on their team. They're just a well-built team that works well together. And coming up from Segunda, you can't really ask for much more than what they've done to start this year.
No, you can. They lost that incredible unbeaten run at home a few weeks back. They did lose that, but still, they've only lost three times. They've picked up points in 13 of 16 so far. Only 18 goals conceded, which for a newly promoted team, that's the same amount of goals Barcelona have conceded.
Yeah, exactly. I always feel like, and you know, they've had a ton of turnover over the years, but Osasuna are generally a pretty solid team, a tough team to break down. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. I'm glad they're back. They feel like a La Liga fixture at this point.
And Juan Fran is going to get a special ceremony before the game, as he is a pretty key figure in the history of both those clubs,
Atletico
and Osasuna. So he will be in Madrid on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess because the Brazilian season is over, he can come on back.
Yep, he's got a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Osasuna's key player is obviously Kimi Avila. Six goals this season from 15 appearances. Pervis Estupiñan as well, their left back, has had a very good season. Roberto Torres, their captain, he's got four goals. They have a really solid team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they've come up from Segunda and done exactly what they needed to do to basically, I mean, at this point you'd say they're safe.
Do you think so?
Mainly because the bottom two teams have been real bad. So. Yeah.
And one of whom is into the Europa League round of 32. Because
it's amazing.
Go figure.
It's amazing what they've done.
Yeah. Just, okay, Espanyol, go off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope they win it. I hope they win the Europa League.
Sure, and get relegated. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Villarreal could have done it last year. It would be like Wigan winning the FA Cup and then getting relegated, which is much more dramatic.
Exactly.
Osasuna are 10 points clear of the drop. They're going to stay up. And they also have Adrian Lopez. I forgot that he's there. He's made 9 appearances for them this year.
Oh, yeah. He should get a nice welcome.
Yeah, former Europa League hero and Champions League semifinal hero, Adrian Lopez.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, he can reunite with Juan Fran, who provided him with the pass against Chelsea.
That's right. That's so, very good. That's right.
We can play that on the Jumbotron.
Yes, got to.
Big time.
That was that goal was just a beautiful goal, wasn't it?
Yep, and sad Mourinho right afterwards. Yes. I loved it.
Starting with Koke winning the ball back, Thiago's just perfectly lofted ball into the onto the flank. Juan Fran crosses it across the box, and I think it was Ashley Cole who Adrian just burned to a crisp at the back post.
It's an amazing cross by Juan Fran.
Yes.
If you go back and look at it, I mean, he was completely stretched out, and the ball was damn near out of play. So
yeah, that just showed you Juan Fran's athleticism and his pace during his prime to catch up to that ball and fling it to Adrian.
Yeah, that was a great game. I love that match so much.
It was a huge goal. It was the goal that pretty much sent Atletico to the final in Lisbon.
Yeah, and it's amazing that they scored two more times in that match.
Two more, and then Simeone sprints down the touchline when Arda gets the third one.
Yeah, that Arda goal is so dumb.
Just
even to this day.
Good signs. That one at Stamford Bridge. Because you thought after the first leg, which finished goalless, you're like, oh, great, this is it, isn't it?
Right.
But no, then they go to Stamford Bridge and they just beat the brakes off Chelsea, really.
Well, and at the time, Mourinho was hyping up that match so much, he thought that was it, and it were not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... and forgotten in all that is that Fernando Torres scored the first goal.
Yeah, Torres scored the opener, and he looked really sad about doing it.
Yeah, he did.
He looked really, really sad, but it's okay. It all worked out.
Thanks, Fernando. Appreciate it.
He didn't have to win that game. Saturday, what's your prediction?
Ooh, it's a tough one. I feel like Osasuna have been really good defensively this year, like we said. I feel like it's going to be close. I'll go with 1-0. Why not? It's the standard.
The standard? Yeah, try to see if Atletico can get a little momentum going. 4 draws in the last 6 league games, just 1 win. A victory could potentially take Atletico up to 4th.
That would be good. So that would be very helpful.
We'll see. Yeah, Getafe and Real Sociedad, the 2 teams ahead of Atleti. Real Sociedad play Barcelona on Saturday at Anoeta, which historically Barcelona are not very good there. Last few years, though, they've put together some wins. And then Getafe have the early game Sunday against Valladolid. That is a 0-0 if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, big time. That is not going to be a good game.
Yeah, that one is as close to a goalless stalemate as you will ever see.
Yes, indeed.
So
now it's going to be 6-0 that you said that, or 6-4 or something.
Yeah, like maybe 5-2 Getafe or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And shout out Getafe. They, too, are through to the Europa League round of 32.
Spanish teams doing well in Europe. Yeah. Per.
Yeah, good for Getafe as well. I think they topped that group, didn't they?
Yeah, they did extremely well.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they can do well. You think about them in a knockout competition against teams that haven't played them. I mean, they're a really tough team to beat.
Oh, yeah, they're a mini Atletico.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah. Shithousery and veteran goal scorers.
They could do it.
A lot like Simeone's early teams. They could. They've beaten the odds so far.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
All right, on that note, we are going to sign off. Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Follow Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite platform, primarily Apple Podcasts for most of you. Patreon.com/Colt Gennaro Chat for bonus content. And we'll talk to you next time.
A personal announcement.
Adios.
I began Colt Gennaro Chat with Robbie Dunn back in the summer of 2016. And I have enjoyed virtually every moment of it since then. From coordinating with guests, to the actual conversations with them, to the recording process, editing, publishing, things like removing clicks and pops from the audio, and splicing in the intro and outro music. Colt Gennaro Chat has brought me happiness and a lot of pride over these past 3+ years. It's also been a great learning experience for me. I've learned so much about my guests. Over 20 different fans and journalists joined me on this program over the years. I've learned a lot about Spanish culture, about football itself, and especially this crazy team we've covered, Atletico Madrid. The high points in Lyon and in Tallinn, the less triumphant points, such as the draws against Carabaj, the losses to Barcelona and Real Madrid. We have tried to bring you Atletico Madrid coverage with humor and fun, but also with detail and careful analysis, because we have felt that that is what you, dear listener, deserved. Whether you were with us for one episode or 181 episodes, however many in between, you mattered, and you thought highly enough of us to give us a chance. Whoever my guest was, Rob Walker, Kian Sobani, Ewan McTeer, Robbie Dunn, whoever it was, you were interested enough to give us a shot, and that is all I can ask. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support, for your feedback, your questions, whether you were a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo or not. I also have to thank my guests for appearing on this podcast for over 3 seasons. But now the time has come not to say goodbye, but to say see you later. Hasta pronto. Colt Chinero Chat will enter an indefinite hiatus starting today. Perhaps it will return in the near future to cover Atletico's biggest fixtures, such as those against Barcelona, Real Madrid, those in the Champions League. But I will be taking a break, a step back from this podcast, this format as you know it. I have chosen to focus on other things professionally and personally in my life. I do have my reasons. Can't really dive into them right now, particularly as it pertains to my next steps, which I am thinking about even as I speak right now. But in the meantime, I do plan on continuing to produce Atletico Madrid-centric audio content. You can find that audio content at patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. You may have heard me drop this URL into, well, virtually every Colt Chinero Chat episode. That is where we will be from this point on. Colt Chinero Chat amigos, as I like to call them, from as little as $3 a month can get access to this content, such as instant analysis pods after every match, the Lone Tracker podcast once a month, the International Affairs Desk covering former Atletico greats. Those are the kind of features we have on the Patreon page. There are more features and more audio goodies in the works, and if you are a Colt Chinero Chat amigo, we'd like to hear from you. If you're considering becoming a Colt Chinero Chat amigo, we'd like to hear from you. If you have suggestions, if you have ideas as to what content you would like to see on the Patreon page, feel free to drop me a line on Twitter, and I will absolutely see what I can do to make your suggestions, your ideas, a reality. So come on over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. That is where we will be from this point on. This podcast, as you know it, may return in the near future, so do keep an eye out for any announcement of that nature. But I will repeat, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat is the place to be if you want to keep hearing me talk about Atletico Madrid. I have to thank my guests one more time, and I have to thank you, dear listener, for giving me your time. And as I said earlier, it's meant a lot. This podcast has been a great joy to do. Perhaps we'll circle back to it in the future. Thank you all so much. Gracias, gracias, gracias. Until next time.